We are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're returning to that this morning. So if you have your Bibles there, turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12 will be the verses that we're looking at. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. This is the word of the Lord. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. This is God's word. So as we return to 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, we have been looking at this chapter because love is so central to the Christian life. It says at the end of this chapter, the greatest of these is love. That is why we spend this time looking carefully at these verses. And today we're moving on past verses 4 through 7. Those verses covered the descriptions of love. It said love is this, love is that, love does not do this. But he moves on now, and the purpose of these verses is to tell us there are some things that are temporary, and there are some things that are permanent. Now the things that are temporary should be considered less important than the things that are permanent. That, I think, all makes sense to us. And he's particularly talking about spiritual gifts. So if you return to verse 1 of chapter 13, you'll see what verse 1 says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And so he talks about, in our verses here, a couple of different gifts: prophecies, tongues, and knowledge, which I think here is the gift of knowledge that he has in mind. And the problem was that the Corinthians had gotten the balance wrong. They were focusing too much on the spiritual gifts. They were perhaps proud about their gifts, and they had missed the whole point of the gifts, which was the edification of the body in love. They had gotten the balance wrong, and so Paul is saying, look, brothers and sisters, these things are going to pass away. They're not going to last. So keep them in the appropriate perspective. Now, there's some challenging interpretive questions that in the context of this exhortation, I don't have time to delve into fully. And some of those questions are, what is the perfect that Paul describes that's coming? What is he referring to there? And what about these other gifts? Does that mean they're going to continue fully until Christ returns? Or when is this going to take place? And I don't have, like I said, time to do that right now in explaining those matters. Perhaps in sermons in the future I will have an opportunity. But for the purposes of this exhortation, I want to argue that the perfect coming is the return of Christ, the new heavens and the new earth, the consummation of all things, the perfection of all things. That's what my understanding of this passage is. And he gives us this illustration of the child and the mature adult, that when we are children, we think as children, we reason as children, we do childish things, but there's a day coming when we will be fully grown and we will no longer be immature. That's the end goal, is maturity. Now, this reminds me of Ephesians 4, so I'd invite you to turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 12 and verses 15 through 16. This describes the offices of the church that God has appointed for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Here's what the verses say. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then moving on to verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what this describes is these gifts that God has given to his church. He gave these people that will serve in these offices, and they will equip the saints to minister to each other. And then when everybody's doing their part, The result is that the body is edified itself, is built up in love. And we're growing into maturity, it says. We're going to grow into all things who is the head, Christ. We want to reach that maturity, his perfection, his stature, his fullness. And that's where we're all heading, and we all have a part in it. Think of it like building a house. Think of the church worldwide, and our church is part of it, as a house. We're all building. We all have our tools. We all have our gifts. And every single part is important. You have the foundation. And of course, the foundation is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. And then, in addition, when you're building a house, you have to do a variety of things. You have to frame the house. You have to put on the roof. You have to put on doors and windows. There's siding. There's electrical work. There's drywall. There's plumbing. And there's eventually flooring. And so we all play that part, right? Maybe you're the drywaller in the church, quote unquote. Maybe you're the plumber. Whatever the gift is, they're all important. Now, wouldn't it be foolish if the plumber thought, I am the most important part of this project? Now, maybe the drywaller might have a better argument. Or maybe the foundation layer says, I'm really important to this project. But that's beside the point, because all of the parts are important, right? And so, when we have gifts given to us by the Lord, and if we fall into pride in the use of those gifts, and if we think so highly of ourselves in the use of our gifts, we've missed the point. And we're not humble. We are all in this together. We are building the church, edifying the church in love, seeking to reach maturity together. And so to overemphasize, to think proudly about our gifts is foolish. We're not keeping our eyes on the end goal, which is the building up of the body of Christ. So how do we apply this morning, brothers and sisters? We can be easily distracted from the end goal. We begin pursuing the wrong things and focusing on the wrong things. We get distracted by other matters that cloud our vision. Not only is it being proud about spiritual gifts, but maybe we get bogged down in questions of methodology. Can get bogged down in these personal ambitions that we have. This can happen in our homes even, too. Parents can be so concerned to dial in their parenting methodology and engineer every aspect of family life when we're forgetting that all of these things are just tools to reach the end goal of love. So if these things are just tools to reach the goal, let's not get the wrong emphasis here. Let us, above all things, put on love. And remember what Paul in Colossians says. He says, there's a variety of things you should pursue, brothers and sisters, but above all, put on love, because love binds everything together in perfect harmony. We want harmony in the church. I know you want harmony in your homes. How are you going to get it? It's going to be love. And these other things, these spiritual gifts, these methods, these disciplines, whatever they are, they may help us in getting there, but they are not the end goal themselves. Love is the end goal. We want to see a full, wholehearted love for God. We want to see a wholehearted love for our brothers and sisters. And we're not going to get there if we're proud about our gifts and thinking too highly of ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, let's confess our sins now. And there are ways in which we act immaturely, childishly, as Paul describes. We can think and reason as a child if we get these things in the wrong balance. And so we're called to be mature, and we will be mature when we focus on the end goal, and when we pursue it, and when we put on love, the bond of perfection. Let's go ahead and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do confess that at times we have thought and acted in immature ways. Like the Corinthians, we can get the focus wrong. We can become proud about our contributions. We can forget the end goal of love. And we can make all these other things the end goal, our own ambitions, our own goals, rather than faith and hope and love and the edifying of the body of Christ. Father, we do ask that you would grant us a greater love for one another, and especially in the present time, show us, Lord, what love looks like. Show us the opportunities. I pray that any pride, any selfishness would be stripped away from us as a church body, and that we would love each other with an earnest love. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.